So I'd like you to give a big welcome to the five guys. Come on, give them a big welcome as they come up here. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. You ready? Again. Here they go. We did have a picture outside the restaurant called Five Guys. If you've been on Facebook, you've seen that coming up. There's six pastors altogether, really, but we're going to reserve her for the Mother's Day, aren't we? Okay, but it's up to us. Father's Day. I'm going to talk to you about the Father's heart. And it's a little bit of a lighter take, maybe, on the subject. But I tell you what, we've got a really, really important message to share with you today. I want to read a verse to you from Proverbs 23, verse 19, and it says this. Listen, my son. This is the Father talking. Listen, my son, and be wise. Well, that's big enough, isn't it? We could just leave it there, couldn't we? You know, listen, my son, and be wise. And all the sons go, yeah, until they become a father. And then they're saying to their sons, now listen and be wise. And they go, yeah, until they become a father. And then they're talking to their kids and saying, now listen, be wise. And then it says this, and keep your heart on the right path. Keep your heart. What does that mean? It means keep your passion, keep your emotion, keep your desire, keep your will, keep your want, keep your thing that makes you tick. Make sure that you don't get yourself off track just because you get a crazy idea inside your heart. Keep your heart on the right path. Then there's some real strong advice here to a son from a father, from the father heart. Say father heart with me. There you go. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. Now, it doesn't mean that's not a verse for veganism or something. It's talking, that's your choice, okay? I've got nothing to say about that except for the fact that it's talking about a time when you would have eaten and eaten and eaten and eaten and eaten and you'd have eaten the whole, and it was just too much. Because it then says, for drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags. In other words, the end result of it is that you'll end up in the poorhouse. And then he says this, finally, in the father heart, listen to your father who gave you life. Oh, by the way, just to leave, so that don't leave them out, do not despise your mother when she's old. So she's not got to that place yet, so don't despise her when she's even just middle-aged or elderly. There's the father heart given to us. Amen? You know, in England, we have a tradition, don't we, about jokes, and we call them daddy jokes. How many of you know a daddy joke or two? Nobody's admitting to it, but we all know, and we've got people in this church who put them up on Facebook. He's walking out the back of the building right now. Elvis just left the building. And we've got all these daddy jokes, right? And I've got one to start out with, shall we? A young boy was asked to... No, this is a really good one. You wait till you hear them. Then you'll know what... A young boy was asked to define Father's Day, and he said it's like this. It's exactly the same as Mother's Day, except you don't spend as much on the present. Okay, let's have a go for some Father's Day. Let's go down the line.
Come up from me then. So, Father's Day joke from me. As I've got older, I've stopped trusting stairs. They're always up to something.
Oh, okay. Always up to something. That's really good. Now, this is not really a big Hong Kong tradition. We know that.
Yeah,
we've had to explain to him about Father's Day. This is his first time.
I searched it online and I merged it with my situation. When every time I went to school to pick up my daughter, Serena, and the first thing she come to me and said is, Daddy, I'm hungry. So, and search for my pocket to see if I have some biscuits or chocolate. So I decide after I search it online, I'm going to reply to her tomorrow like this. So when she came to me and said, Daddy, I'm hungry, I will reply, Hi, hungry, I'm Daddy.
Very good. Mine is so bad I had to write them down.
That's good. That's really good. That's better than the rest of these put together.
That's a high bar you've set there. Why do fathers take an extra pair of socks when they go golfing? In case they get a hole in one.
Oh. Did you get that from your dad? No. No, it's better than your dad's.
Okay, one last one. What does the Eiffel Tower and ticks have in common? They're both parasites.
Okay, so we might visit that again before we're through. If you start going sleepy or quiet, we'll have a few more of them, okay? So stay alive. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. He is our Father. The relationship that God wants to have with you is a father, son, or daughter relationship. Not just a God relationship, but a father relationship. He wants to call you his son, wants to call you his daughter. He wants to have an intimate relationship, a real relationship, not just an understanding that he is God Almighty. See, God is interested in you. We're interested in you too. And you know, the thing that really has been a driving force behind the ministry from Destiny for many years now is that we love the idea of the gospel reaching guys. You ladies, you are, I hope you understand me when I say this, but you are more open sometimes to the things of the kingdom of God than the guys are. You're more sensitive, you're more connected in that. But the guys, you know, we can be a bit like, well, in fact, so many churches, the percentage of guys that go to church is so small in the congregation. So we set out a long time ago now to reach guys, to have a message, to have a style, to have a program, to have a whole faith within our hearts to reach men. I am very grateful today that the percentages of men in our church are equal to the demographic of the society in which we live. And there's a lot of men around at Destiny. That's one thing that so many visitors, when they first come to me and say, you've got a lot of men. And I say, yeah, we have them. We've got a lot of good men as well. And I am grateful for that. And we do. Yeah, come on. You good men. Thank you very much. You are the best. There is our Father, which is in heaven. And then there's our Father, who is on earth. Now, that's a different story, isn't it? But the prayer for our fathers today that Wes was praying of earlier is that God would so live, the father heart of God would so live through the men in our church that we would see our father and we'd understand what father is like. That when you look at your dad, you say, well, I didn't have a very good dad. Like, you know, we understand that, and we do understand how that some people had a very bad experience of understanding what father is. But us men, it's our job, isn't it? I'm speaking to you guys here today, whether you're a dad or you're an uncle or you're a granddad or whatever you might be, it's time for us men to pick up a new mantle, as it were, and represent well the father heart of God. So that when our kids, our grandkids, our nephews, our nieces, our friends, or whatever look at us, they don't see a really weird bloke. They see the father heart of God shining through us. Amen? All right, let's go down this line again. Let's ask a question, and we can do it the other way around. Let's start with Steve this time, shall we? And say, what is the biggest thing that you think you learned from your dad?
Well, my dad was very religious. We would go on holiday and he would go to church twice on Sunday.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. And when I was young, I didn't understand why. And what I later learned was the fact that he had such a passion
yes,
for God.
Yes, he did.
That he had such a heart for the gospel. and such a reverence for the Bible and wanting to live that out in his life. And that was why he did the things that he did. And so that I've took a lot of that on board.
Fantastic.
Inspired by that.
That's what you learned. We were praying together, me and Rachel, earlier this morning, and we were saying, God, thank you that Dan, all these years, this is another Sunday, thank you that all the way through our life too, just like you, and you're just the same, we're a chip off the same old block, as it were, that Sunday and being in church and the gathering and the worship and all is vital. You know, when once you represent a heart as a father, that Sunday actually and being together as a church really doesn't matter too much. Don't be surprised if it doesn't start mattering to your kids. You're here today. It matters to you. It matters to your kids. And I know some of you are unable to be here, but you're logging on. Well, thank God for that. Let's not make Sunday just like an optional thing. He learned it from his dad. I learned the same thing. It was from my mom. And then we passed that on to our kids as well. That's great. Go on then, Dan.
Great. So something that I witnessed growing up was something my dad demonstrated, which I believe is part of the heart of God as well, is that he was a people person.
Ah.
And no matter where he was, no matter who he was with, whether he was on the other side of the world or whether he was down Castleford High Street, it didn't matter who he was with. He connected with people
good.
All the time, and he still does, which is why he's so good to be in the welcome person at church, because he is that people person. And for me, that's really inspired me, and it really shaped who I was, because actually God loves people.
Great.
And it's all about connecting with people and the unity of people. And so for me, even being a pastor here, that has been really influenced, really touched by watching not just my dad, but both of my parents as well, really, be those people.
They are.
You know?
Because people are precious.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well done. Pass it on.
Yep. And the greatest lesson I learned from my dad is he's a man who is willing to provide a platform and instill confidence in for the next generation. I still remember my father was served as a worship leader in church for around over 30 years. And he's also a songwriter. He wrote a numerous Cantonese worship song. And when I was 16, he started encouraging me to write worship song. Also, not only me, also the teenagers in the worship team at that moment. And he gave us an offer, and he said, if any one of you finish a worship song, I will use that for the Sunday worship song list. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. And he keep encourage every teenager to start writing worship song. And we keep writing and writing because we know that the worship song that we wrote will bring people to worship God. Yeah, that's really amazing.
Fantastic. He did a good job. Well done. That's great.
What did I get from my dad? Ooh. So I'm supposed to say youthful looks, thick head of hair. What I really got was a whole load of phrases that we all know, if you've been around at Destiny for a while, that determine an awful lot of what we do. ATD, attention to detail. Excellence for His Excellency.
Excellent.
You can tell he's a preacher. There's lots of little sayings. So much so that for years, I repeat them back to him. Well, my pop says...
He does.
And I repeat them back. Things like, if you're going to buy a tool, buy a good one, or you'll buy it twice. You know, there's lots of things, isn't there? But actually doing things excellently well, particularly when they relate to church and to God and to being who you are supposed to be in your unique role is really important. And giving our best in those situations, in every moment, is something that was instilled into me as a child. And it's still something that I recommend as a lifestyle choice of doing the best you can. Make the most of what you've got.
That's
and all those
one.
Other things that he kept saying to me the whole of my life growing up.
What about the others? Can I remind you of a few more?
No.
No?
My bedroom will be as tidy as your garage.
Okay, that's great. We've got more coming from these guys in a few moments. A father is three things. He's many more than three things, but there's three things that I just want to say very briefly. He is a relationship builder. Secondly, he's a family builder. And thirdly, he's a future life builder. Fathers should be all those things, a relationship builder. If you're going to be, and it doesn't have to be just a father. I mean, just like Daniel was saying, really, you know, we should be building relationships with people. But a good father doesn't just go to work to provide money. A good father is all about building relationships. And relationships with his wife so that the kids have got a stable home. A relationship with his children so that the children don't grow up and saying, I had an absent father, or I don't know who my dad is, or he was always... No, relationship building. And relationship building always needs at least two things, doesn't it? Loving and forgiving. I remember when we were first married, somebody gave us a plaque that we had on... hung up on our bedroom wall. A good relationship starts with loving but needs forgiving. And both of those things, if you want to have a good and long-time relationship with anybody, including God, loving and forgiving are important. The forgiving comes from God to us. Hallelujah. But we also need to learn how to forgive one another in a marriage, or one forgiving one another even in a brotherly relationship, or even for us, or you sat at home. You know, it's a forgiving relationship. It's a loving relationship, and it's a forgiving relationship. He is first a relationship builder. Secondly, he's a family builder. And any father really, and any man really is... I know we talk about mothers as being like a mother hen, but actually a father needs to be that person who is protecting and providing. You know, a family builder is somebody to say, I'm going to look after what God has given me. And every good father will do his very best to provide. And our Heavenly Father does the same, doesn't he? He provides a hedge of protection around you. Are you grateful? And he comes and says, I'm God, the God who will provide for all of your needs. Are you grateful? And then the third thing that I spoke about is that he's a future life builder. You know, I remember holding this young man as a little tiny baby in my hand and thinking, like, he's going to end up as nothing. No, it's not true, is it? You hold a baby in your hand and you say, God, I wonder what is in future for him or for you. And your Heavenly Father has said, I know the plans that I have for you. And a good father, natural father, says, God's got good plans for you, and I'm going to help you to achieve your future. A good father is a future life builder. It's encouraging. And when somebody falls down, stand them up on their feet again and say, now come on, let's go, because destiny is where everybody's got a future. That's another one of those little sayings. And we need all the time as men and as fathers to be able to inspire people to believe for the days that are to come. Three things: a relationship builder, a family builder, and a future life builder. So let's ask a question. What do you think is the most important thing the Bible says about a father? Okay, let's go back down the line this way.
Okay, so I picked a verse from Matthew 7, which is about how our Heavenly Father is actually just really good. And everything that God ever wants to teach us is going to be for our good.
Good.
And it talks about, which of you, if your son asks for bread, gives him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, gives him a snake. If you then, us as humans, are evil... we're not evil, but you know what I mean. Know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And it's that real truth that God always wants good things for us. And he's always going to give us. We might not even understand what it is, but he's always going to want to have the very best for us.
Wow. That's your father. Isn't that awesome? That's what your father's like. That's what the Bible says about a father. He's a good, good... we sing a song, don't we? Good, good father. Yeah. That's what he is. Good. Okay.
The scripture I choose is from Luke chapter 15, verse 20. It's the parable from a prodigal son. And the verse 20 said, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arm around him and kissed him. So when I think of this scripture, I think of three questions. The first question is, did the father ask the younger son to change his bad habit before coming home?
Uh-uh.
No. The second, did the father ask the younger son to earn back what he was raised before coming home? No. The third question, did the father withdraw the son's identity and make him a hired servant?
No.
No, 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 and no. So, and even before the younger son had a chance to clean himself, The father ran to embrace and kiss him, despite the fact that he was covered in a stench of pigs. It was simply because what? He was willing to come home. Yeah. So simple. He was willing to come home. So from the scripture, I know the father has, the main point is his grace.
Yeah.
His grace. And this grace, impact and destroy the life that we have been deeply rooted in our mind in this world for so long time.
Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. That's awesome. Thank you very much for that. Come on.
Thinking about what the Bible asks a father to do, it seems to be sort of everywhere along the Bible. Teach. Yeah. In the way you should teach about the Bible, teach about the scripture,
yeah.
Teach about God, teach about the way you should live. And there's a real responsibility, I think, that the Bible gives us, not just as fathers with children, but as men and fathers in the house, yeah. in the church. You know, there are lots of people who are younger than us. I know I'm 30, I'm going to be 31 very shortly, but there are guys that are younger than me that I can impart something to, that I can watch over and teach, as the Bible keeps instructing us to do. And, you know, that's what's so wonderful about church and about family, is that there are young people, the people who are not so young, and there are people who are really not so young anymore. And we, you know, I'm not
looking
at you.
Look at me when you said that.
I'm just looking at you anyway. I'm not... Oh, no. Look, I mean, I look up here. But it's a wonderful relationship, isn't it, that we have that's unique from the rest of the world.
Yes, it is.
We have a collection of people that wouldn't be together otherwise, and we can teach and impart some good godly stuff to one another, can't we?
And the Bible would say, let nobody despise your youth, because actually you don't need to be old in years to be able to go and teach somebody else. You can be very young, but have an understanding and have got something which you can teach to older people. And I would say to any of you guys out there, you can still learn something from these young guys. I do all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you very much for that. Okay, Steve.
Well, I think what everybody said is really, really good and spot on. And so the verse that I've chosen is not necessarily the most important part of the Bible, but something that I always think about when I think about what the Bible says about fatherhood. And it's found in Psalm 127, verses 3-5. And it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And I really like it because it speaks of purpose. It speaks of strategy. It speaks of having a plan. And it speaks of the fact that God will give you what you need, and he won't give you anything more. You know, he will supply all your needs. And sometimes we can feel, as parents, like perhaps under-equipped or feeling like we don't know what we're doing. But God tells us, you know, a quiverful, so where you put your arrows in as an archer, that was your quiver. And depending on what type of archer you were, depends on how many arrows went in your quiver. And depending on who you are, God knows you. And he's not going to give you anything more than you can handle. So you can have peace.
So we don't need to quiver.
God has you.
So we don't need to quiver.
We don't need to quiver.
That's great. God has got a plan. And children are a heritage. Thank you so much for that. I just want to share one verse with you from 1 John chapter 3. And it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And then it says this in the verse, and that is what we are. We are the children of God, and we shall be like him. Isn't that awesome? That's the father heart of God. God wants to re-represent himself in us. The father heart of loving, the father heart of forgiving, the father heart of accepting, the father heart of encouraging, the father heart that says, we've got hope and we've got a future, and the father heart that sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could have life in all of its abundance. I don't know if you've accepted the Father, heart of God yet. Don't know whether God has become your Father. It happens when you have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to die so that we could be forgiven. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior through faith, God becomes our Father. He doesn't just become God out there. He becomes our Father, not just who art in heaven, but who also lives in me today. There's one just final verse out of Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, and I'm believing, praying this prayer in our day in which we're living, and it says this: He, that's God, will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. What an incredible verse that is. There needs to be that happening in our society, probably more than ever I've seen in all of my many long years. And the end of it, these are the last words of the Old Testament now, these last phrase: or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. And I struggled with that. I said, Lord, what are you going to do? I'm going to strike the land with a curse. No, in a society where fathers and sons, fathers and their children, are at loggerheads, in a society where the children no longer respect the fathers, then you don't even need the devil or God or anybody else to bring a curse into society. You've got brokenness. And that's one of the ways that our society will be able to help itself and see the healing of God happen, is that there will be fathers who will love their kids, and God will turn their hearts to the children, and the children will turn their hearts to their fathers, and there becomes a healing. There becomes, and you take these things about what God has said about family, it all begins to start to happen, and there's a healing that starts to happen. There's a coming together. There's a unity. There's a strength. And instead of dysfunctional families, people isolated, kids going off and saying, you know, I won't accept anything that my dad says, and all the rest of it. Listen, dads make mistakes. You know, and to any of you younger guys watching and listening to me right now, your dad is not perfect. He will make mistakes. But if he's got a father heart in him, he will want the best for you. And God wants to turn your heart to him, and he wants to turn his heart to you. And when that happens and God smiles on that, I tell you, there is an awesome journey that is ahead for us. Hallelujah. God's going to turn the hearts of the fathers. Now, just in a final moment, just very quickly, guys, I'm asking a question that says, okay, we're in 2023 right now, and crazy time of the world, aren't we? Crazy stuff going on out there. So what challenges? You can do them as a line or one as the other, whichever way you want. What challenges does a father face today, and what have we got to say to help those guys win through that challenge? Real brief.
I think that one of the big challenges is that the world is full of ideals for men. So the ideal way a bloke should act, or the ideal way a father should act, or even the way men should look, or how their attitude should be. So I think they're full of great ideals, but they're very short on details on how you do that. And I think it's great to know that when you put your trust in God,
yes,
when you apply what the Bible says,
yeah,
when you put Him first, you know that when you become more and more like the Father in heaven, you'll become the best version of you and the best father you can be here on earth.
Amen. Good. Good. Yeah.
Just in thinking about 2023 and how different the world is now, my thought was the big challenge is being present. Being present with family, being present with people, being present with church. It's such a, we're divided by so many different things, by technology. Families are divided amongst themselves, who don't communicate because of technology and things like that. And I think it's important for us as fathers and just as men in general to be people who are present, to be people who are there in the moment, in the now, rather than being distracted and having our minds somewhere else on whatever it is that we want to think about. Yeah.
Good. Well done. Yeah.
For me, I would think about the word grace, as I mentioned just now. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I believe that I have to achieve good result or good performance to receive a pulse or receive a gift or I feel worthy. So even as as a father right now, I'm still influenced by this idea. For example, 2 years ago, I told my eldest son Hugo that if he could get into grammar school, I would brought him an advanced computer. And I did it, and I did it. So this is one of the challenge for all the fathers face today, because we have conditioned to believe that only with good grades, good performance to receive applause, feel worthy, or receive gift, we need grace.
Yeah,
I think similar to some of these, I think in a world where there's so much information bombarding us, so much that's diluting truth,
yeah,
diluting the word of God, or actually lighting a touch paper on emotive issues all over the place in life, in the Christian world and outside of the Christian world, keeping Jesus as being the center of all that we do, being the center of every influence that we have, whether that's over children or other people, because it doesn't matter whether you're a man, a father, a woman, whatever it is today, you've got influence over other people. And the world is influencing us all over the place, but trying to keep people pointing towards Jesus. Elder Graham has for years always said, just fall deeper in love with Jesus. Nothing else matters. And actually, he's been a bit belligerent with it, because you can ask him almost any question and that's about his answer back. But it's the truth that doesn't matter what's going on in the world, it doesn't matter whether you're trying really hard with something, as long as we're focused on Jesus, it's all going to be all right.
You've got it. And so as we conclude this session with the five guys, we're no longer a hamburger joint, we are the five guys from Destiny. We want to say to all of you men out there, thank God for you. We're proud of every man that lifts up the name of Jesus, that loves his wife, that raises his kids. We are together in this, never feel alone. We want to strengthen you and enable you and say to you, guys, go for it and let the Father heart of God shine out from you. And we declare the blessing of the Lord over you in Jesus' name.